Who is Newton?
Who is Newton? Newton is spontaneous. Newton is intelligent. Newton is worldly. Newton is friendly.
And I'm Mel Newton, and this is my wife, Helen Newton.
Newton is like your guardian angel, always looking for ways to help you out. Newton talks to fax machines and laser printers, to telephones and computers. Newton is a great communicator. Newton is for all you mobile professionals out there who like cool stuff.
Thank you.
Cast the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah, joining me today. He's as wise as Father Time, and as of today, almost as old. Lander Caney is here.
Thanks.
You didn't know I knew about that, did you?
Yeah, I didn't, actually. Sneaky.
Also joining us, his new workout video, Hike Your Way to Biggest Glutes, Bestest Glutes, is Black Friday's hottest item. Buster Hein is here.
Hey.
Dude, I bought two copies.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I got one for each cheek, and I just got to say, my size has increased like 30% so far.
Only 30%?
I've only been doing it for 24 hours.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, so I expect big things. I expect
better
to buy new jeans here pretty soon. Leander, he didn't say anything. I had to hear it through a little bird that he has having a birthday today. Happy birthday, Leander.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I didn't know that your birthday was the day before Thanksgiving. Has it always been such?
It has, but of course. Funny, right? No, it jumps around. It used to be in July, and I had it in January. That was too cold. I thought I put it like on the busiest, holiday of the year.
It feels like a party just for you. You get to have a banquet in your honor.
Right, I know. Turkey again for my birthday. Thanks.
So, Leander, do you care to say how old you are today, or should we say? It's a big birthday for you.
I know. I've been trying to suppress it.
How many hours have you spent sulking and crying over this holiday?
Well, none. Because years ago, I kind of had this. I felt that birthdays were kind of perverse. Mm-hmm. Since probably I was 25 actually, mm-hmm. And I thought this is odd to celebrate. Another year closer to the grave. But this really is old now, and. But that's a perverse way of thinking about things and completely unfair. So I have to overcome my natural, reticence about birthdays and dislike of them, because it's for other people really. And I learned that since having kids, I have to be kind of a little more cheerful about being this old.
You don't want to cry in front of your kids. I get it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Happy birthday, Dad.
I'd rather drink a bottle of whiskey and just pass out.
Well, that sounds like a good way to celebrate. I mean, we got to tell people it's Leander's 50th 50 birthday.
Dang, that's half a century.
Half
man.
A century, Leander.
Yeah, great. When you put it like that, it doesn't
matter. You just, in my opinion, Leander, you just keep getting better. Although. Also slightly grumpier.
Right.
Daily. It seems like that happens daily, actually.
Yeah. My brother FaceTimed me this morning. He lives in London.
Yeah.
And, FaceTime, right? So I just woke up and he's like, Christ, did you go out last night? Did you have a really heavy night? I just woke up. And then I look at my face in this, because I actually actively avoid the mirror.
Yeah.
Actively avoid it. So, then I'm confronted with my own face, in the, really shocking.
That's great. Are you okay? Are you sick? This is just my face now, Alex.
Exactly.
Crikey. Let's do FaceTime audio from now on.
Yep. I'd actually had an early night and slept pretty well.
So. I actually have been feeling better than I have in a long time. Well, regardless, happy birthday, Leander. That's I think that's cool. I mean, I think 50 is a great age. I know a lot of cool 50-year-olds.
Oh yeah, like what?
Oh yeah, name like my neighbor across the street. He's super cool. He's 53. One of the coolest guys I know. So there's hope for you. Just
okay.
I should introduce you to my neighbor.
Still hope.
Anyway. anyway, this is an Apple show. We are going to get to some Apple news. We actually have some interesting stuff to talk about this week. If you stick around the entire show, here's what you're going to get. Some fun facts about Apple's spaceship campus. I want to pose a question to you guys, and I'm curious to hear your answers. Should Apple put OS X on the iPad? Before you spit out your tea and immediately shout no, I think this actually bears a conversation. Also, I'm going to tell you the one Apple TV tip that I learned this week that you absolutely, positively need to know. If you have an Apple TV, the new generation Apple TV, you will be thanking me for telling you this tip. It is that useful. And if you stay tuned to the end, all the way to the end, we're going to be doing an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist Gobble Gobble Edition, y'all, which is arguably my favorite segment that we do all year long. Because, well, I get to say gobble gobble, y'all. I mean, by me, I mean Tim Cook. Before we hop into the show, I want to say thank you to Canary for supporting this episode. Canary is the complete home security system in a single device. I have one of these in my house, and it's super cool. When Canary detects something out of the ordinary, it sends an intelligent notification with HD video straight to your phone. It's constantly watching and uploading HD video to the cloud. And via the Canary app, you can go through a timeline and see all the different moments that happen in your house. And it doesn't just record crimes. So if someone breaks in, it will record them in HD video. And it has fantastic night vision. So whether day or night, it will be able to see them and their face and all the stuff that they're stealing. But it will notify you so you can sound an alarm and scare them off. But also, it just captures interactions in your home. So if your dog gets up and does something funny, it will capture that. If you have kids, maybe your kids do something silly, it will capture that. It's just always sitting there and watching. So it's not just for crime. It's also for capturing cool moments. Canary is $199 at meetcanary.com. And if you use promo code CULTCAST, you will get free overnight shipping. That's code CULTCAST at checkout and meetcanary.com. I also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. I use FreshBooks. Buster uses FreshBooks. Leander uses FreshBooks. It is the accounting software, the invoicing software for small businesses and entrepreneurs. It makes keeping invoices and sending invoices so easy, you will actually use it. I think this is probably the third time I've told a story like this. I had a sponsor who hadn't paid in a while, and I was getting ready to go over to their offices and break their thumbs, as I do. You guys know that I like to do that when people owe me money. And I checked in FreshBooks, and it had been a while, and I was like, yeah, this is kind of outside of what they normally do because it tells you how long they usually take to pay. So I contacted them and said, hey, you haven't, you know, sent me this check. You know, what's going on? And they said, oh, we sent it to you. You should have gotten it by now. And I was like, nope, you know, here's when the invoice went out. And I know that you guys looked at the invoice, but we never actually received a payment. And so they checked their records, and sure enough, the check had never been cashed. So it must have gotten lost in the mail or something. And so they apologized and, you know, sent me a new check. And there's absolutely no way I would have known that I was owed a check by anyone if I hadn't been tracking it in FreshBooks, because FreshBooks is so easy to use. You just constantly know what's going on with your business. And plus, when it's time to do your accounting, your accountant's going to get all your records in a neat, orderly fashion, and it's going to make his job quick and easy, which is going to save you money on your accounting bill. Plus, no one wants to spend time doing their taxes. It's the worst thing in the world. I'd rather be sitting at the DMV waiting for my driver's license photo. Check it out. Get started with a free trial at FreshBooks.com/CULTCAST, and please enter CULTCAST in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. FreshBooks.com/CULTCAST. Okay, Leander, why don't we start with this story? Because you mentioned this right before we started recording. I was asking you what you were using today, because you've been trying to go iPad Pro 100%, and you're no longer using your iPad Pro 100%, are you?
Well,
are you
I got to
admit, 30%? Well, 25?
Yeah, it's probably 25. You know, I said I was going to be no cheating this time, right? Yeah,
right. Okay. This time was going to be different.
For real. You know, the problem is email. I just couldn't get a good email workflow. And because my sad 50-year-old life is email, it's just like, and then of course the realities of work and life caught up with me. So, but I'm not giving up. Like today, in fact, I was trying to triage my email. So I've actually found a good, the thing was trying to find a good email client. So I went through like three different clients, trying to find one that I could use to handle my volume of email. And you know, in the past on this show, you know, like I've talked about like the ideal email workflow, and which is, you know, like going through the list, responding to the ones I need to respond to, snoozing ones that I want to do later, and then just deleting the rest or archiving it, you know, just like getting rid of everything in one work, in one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can get through like a ton of email. So I actually found, I think Google's Inbox app will do that. Do you know Google's Inbox app? So this is like they smart categorize, put stuff into different categories and into different folders. So like all of your social media mentions, all of your promos and deals, all the stuff from Amazon, they all go into specific folders, and it is supposed to learn your preferences. The trouble is that it, you know, when you first open it up, it miscategorizes a bunch of stuff. And I tried to use this in the past, and I found that actually, you know, if you train it, it does eventually learn it. And so then you can, it's like a whole bunch of these different services, you know, that categorize your emails for you. But it does a pretty good job, and it's also easy to see all the stuff you need to respond to quickly, like on a couple of screens. And then you can just swipe to get rid of everything. But to make it work, I had to kind of get to this kind of inbox zero. So I've been trying to go through and triage the email for the last couple of days.
This is the same story we hear every time we talk about iPad replacing the the Mac. Is a bunch of compromises and a bunch of hacks to make it work. You're constantly trying to get it to work. I mean, that's the effort you're putting into it.
But that's the whole point. That is the whole point, right? Uh-huh. It's a new device for a new world. And it requires new ways of doing things. Uh-huh. And this is always the problem. This is why I always gave up in the past, because I was, you know, either too lazy or too busy to try to figure out a new workflow. And email for me has been broken for a long time.
Yeah, it's like your plight in life.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't tell the story here, but you know, I mean, one of the most important emails of my recent working life.
Yeah.
From somebody who was very important, a very important contact, you know, I didn't see it for 3 months until...
I was wondering why it took you so long to reply.
Yeah.
You're being too kind, please.
Right. Well, anyway, you know, I mean, so it's a welcome change for me, because I do have to find a new way of working with email.
Yeah.
And, you know, like a... So I'm actually kind of looking forward to actually using this as a reason to finally fix email for me, because you know I've got such bad not only is email overwhelming, I have bad email habits too, which make it worse, and I miss a lot of stuff, and I miss a lot of important stuff, and it's completely been utterly broken. I mean, it's mad.
I know email's a tough problem to solve. It's a very tough problem to solve, and so many people have tried, but no, I don't feel like anyone's perfected it yet.
Well, I think, you know, these tools actually are pretty good. I mean, Outlook was, I tried Outlook. So I tried Microsoft Outlook, and there were a lot of things that I liked about it. And it had a really good, it has a good snooze system. It's a nice clean interface. It has your calendar built in. It has a lot of smart data sensors. So it actually looked kind of like a nice way to work. But it had this one fatal flaw, which is, you know, when you click on an email, and then if you did something to deal with it, which is, you know, like either snooze it or archive it or delete it, it wouldn't go to the next email. You'd have to click on the next email.
It's so simple. It's such a simple problem, but so annoying.
And so I reported this. They have actually a nice reporting system where you can report, feature requests or bugs or whatever.
Mm.
And this is a top feature request. A lot of other people had requested this, and I think it said that it was under consideration for the next, you know, for an update, for some future update. But I don't know. You know, like, by the time you've downloaded it and it's loaded up all your email and you start using it and you start figuring out what's going on with it, and then you come across a thing like that and you're like, oh, you know, like I was like, okay, next one, you know, let's try another one. So I've actually been working quite hard this past week trying to find, you know, like an email client. Sorry, my brother.
FaceTime audio. Okay. Well, with all that said, I mean, the email, obviously big problem for you, but Apple is kind of positioning this device as a Mac replacement. And I think the biggest problem with this being a Mac replacement is the fact that it runs iOS, which is just not as good as OS X from a productivity standpoint. So I think this begs the question. Tim Cook has consistently spoken out against the possibility of converging iOS and OS X. And I don't think the two OSs need to be converged. But perhaps, I can't believe I'm saying this, perhaps they need to make the iPad also run OS X or have it be dual mode. I know this is crazy because this is what Surface does. Have it be dual mode so that when you are using it as a tablet, you get iOS, which is brilliant for tablets and for your iPhone and stuff. But then when you're ready to put the keyboard to it and use it as a computer, it's not a series of compromises. It's like the full OS X machine. I saw a poll online recently asking Apple enthusiasts if they thought that Apple should do this, and I was thinking for sure it's going to be like everyone's like, hell no, this is ridiculous, the dumbest idea ever. This is what the Surface does. How could you even propose this? But overwhelmingly, people thought that they should, and I got to thinking, and I was thinking, maybe they should do this. Am I going crazy? What do you think?
It's old thinking. I mean, can't remember when the rumors of that Apple was going to make an iPad, and there was a huge debate before the device even came out. Remember this, Buster?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, people said, they're not going to touch it unless it runs OS X. Like, I remember when the rumor came out that it was going to run iOS, and people were shocked. They were like, oh, my God, this is crazy. This thing's going to be, like, dead in the water. It's a dead duck before it even comes out.
They spit their tea into the air in a fine mist.
Because it's a quick, you know, like, you have to do what I am attempting to do, which is extremely hard, but just to try to find out new ways of doing things. I mean, even, like, split-screening, right? I mean, I kept forgetting that it was there. Mm-hmm. On the iPad Pro. I mean, I've only just started to, like, it's only in the last few days that I've, like, okay, right, I can split screen this thing. Why am I bouncing around between different apps? It's taken me weeks to get this, you know, for this to sink in. Weeks.
But I feel
for me,
like,
just to get something simple like that, like split screen apps.
I feel like your argument, though, is the problem is us. This is this is classic Steve Jobs. The problem is the problem is you. The problem
but it's
is
true, though.
You need to learn how to use it in a better way. But I feel like the solutions that they're offering us aren't as good, and that's the reason why we're not using them. It's not because they're not easy to learn. They're fine. They're easy enough to use if you remember to use them. But they don't wow you. They don't make it easy to use them. And that's why you don't remember that they're there, because they're not very useful. You're constantly having to use a compromised approach to get something done. And, like,
I don't know.
I feel like your argument is I need to stir something, right, in a pot. And you come to me and you're like, no one uses that spoon anymore. That ladle is outdated. Here, use this ping pong paddle. And you're like, why would I use a ping pong paddle? I want a spoon. That's what works best. You're like, no. The spoons are antiquated. Use this ping pong paddle. You're gonna be much happier.
Well, you know, the one limited example, you know, that I just discovered recently was like using iMovie. The last time I used iMovie on a Mac was you know, quite a few years ago, and it was when you had to import all the footage onto the hard drive, and it would eat up everything, the entire hard drive. Mm-hmm. You know, for some shots of the kids. And then, you know, you'd have to put it together, getting all the different clips put together and working on it. Was like, I don't know, it was really complex. I found it unintuitive, difficult. You'd have to export the thing. You know, it would take hours to, well, not hours, but it would, you know, it wouldn't render in real time. And so, like, putting together a quick video on the iPad the other day in iMovie was a revelation. It was super easy. I had to cheat a couple of times. I looked up a couple of things on Google. I was a little bit like, okay, how do you do this? How do you do that? But it was a really nice, really intuitive, fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think, Buster, don't you use Snapseed for photo editing?
Yeah.
Do you still use that?
Yeah, totally, on iPad.
And how do you rate it compared to, like, doing photo editing on a computer?
Oh, yeah, way better. I mean, it's way better just because you get to touch your photos, and I feel it's, I don't know, more like a dark room, you know?
There you have it, Fun. Eat those words.
You take this ping pong paddle, and you like it.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, photo editing is one thing, but doing actual work, and I think that the problem is, like, you know, we're talking, like, email, but then there's also, like, for regular people to use it at work, they would need, like, CRM management on their iPad. And I just think that the software doesn't really, it's just not as useful in many ways as desktop software is there. So I don't think the answer is putting OS X on an iPad. I think it's just expanding iOS to have way better tools. Because I think OS X on an iPad is not going to work at all.
But think how cool this would be, right?
But it's going to be cool.
There's a little icon. I think Apple can make it cool. I think that if Apple really put their focus on it, they could make this work seamlessly and smoothly, and we might actually love it.
Well, how is that going to work? Like, you're going to boot into iOS, but then I want to switch over to OS X, so I need to do that?
I don't think you have to
go into settings, and then you're going to have to restart the device.
There can be, like, a motion that you can make to switch from the iOS, you know, functionality into the full-on OS X functionality. Or maybe when you churn the iPad so that it's horizontal, you could, in the settings, you can make it go into OS X mode. Imagine being able to put your iPad Pro into the keyboard, Stan Leander, and then you have a mouse. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I can't believe I'm saying this.
These
are brilliant ideas, Zerifon. Brilliant.
You know what? After this show airs, I'm done with this show. I'm sure Apple's going to call me in to be part of their UI team. I'm going to tell them about my great
That's
ideas
right.
and live happily yeah. ever after. Johnny Ive is going to knight me. Can he do that, Leander?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's going to
yeah.
give me his knighthood because my ideas are so good. And you guys are going to feel dumb.
Yeah,
I know. It's a wacky idea. Wacky idea. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought this actually could be pretty cool. Because my big problem with the iPad Pro, any iPad really, is if it's going to replace my Mac, it has to run OS X or something similar. Because there's just things that you can do in OS X that I had to choose between my iPad and my Mac. Mac
only. Well, the only thing that can replace OS X for you is... OS X.
Yeah.
No, it could be OS 11. I would take that too.
Right. There you go. Right.
OS 12, if they want to, you know, skip a level because it's well, so next level.
I haven't given up. I'm going to continue this quest. It's just this week was kind of extra busy because of the holiday. But over the holiday, yeah. as soon as I triage my email, I'm back on it. And email was the one thing I got to solve because I can't work without email. And it's a tough one, right? It's going to be the toughest problem, you know, in a modern white collar, information age workflow.
Right.
Because I know that loads of other people, like, you know, my wife has been using an iPad as a main and only machine for years, and she would never go back to using a laptop. Like, the iPad is absolutely fantastic for her, and it does everything that she could possibly want.
Hmm.
And she works on it too, you know. I mean, she was working she was doing stuff in WordPress, you know, like doing some blog posts and things. So it's like she didn't have all this. I don't think, you know, the problem is I'm so lazy. I mean, I like have been doing things the same way for years, right? And it's just it works for me, and I don't want to change it up. And I know I'm 50, and I know I'm kind of pushing it now, but you know, it's like. I'm eager. I'm really eager and keen to learn a new way of doing things. And this is like a blessing. It's a gift from Apple for me to actually learn new ways of
Gosh, you will toe the line right to the grave. Right? This is great. Steve Jobs would love hearing you say all this. The problem is me. I take Apple for these challenges.
Yeah, I know. Cult cast. Put in the cult and cult cast.
Well, the good news is, Leander, is no matter how frustrating email is for you, I mean, this is only going to be a problem for you for the next, you know, 2-3 years, and then you'll be dead. So
I'm hoping to have a long retirement. Nothing. I'm hoping to have a long retirement. Thanks. Dead. Yeah.
Okay. Well, since we're on the topic of Apple Pencil, this also got me thinking this week. So there was a story on Cult of Mac, Leander, I'm sure you saw it, titled "The Apple Pencil Has Reignited My Love of Drawing." Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I processed it, yeah.
Oh, you processed it? I'm not sure.
Well, it was written by Adam Toe.
Okay.
Who is a friend who lives down in Silicon Valley, and he actually was I first met him because he was a Newton fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to run the Stanford or the Silicon Valley Newton users group. Mm-hmm. I forget what it was called. Something like that. It was like, anyway, but it was a bunch of, you know, the word for it is diehard.
Yeah, Newton I think users. That's the appropriate term. If
when Steve Jobs
Newton.
Came back to Apple in 1997, he killed the Newton. And I think Adam was one of the people that was in the car park with placards protesting.
Protesting with signs. Yeah, okay.
It was like, you could take my Newton when he pries it from my cold, dead fingers. Newton is my co-pilot, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But he and a bunch of other guys like used the Newton, you know, hung on to it for like a good, almost a decade, I think. And I did a story when I was at Wired about, you know, this community of fans, because they were actually updating all the software. They were updating. There was still a community of developers. There was still a community of people who were making hardware hacks for it. So they kept it going. You know, the community kept it going for a good long while after Apple killed it, after Steve Jobs killed it.
Sorry. So I thought this was interesting because when I tested out styluses for iPads, I kind of also rediscovered my love for drawing. When I was a kid, I always used to doodle, and I wouldn't say I was particularly that good, but I thought it was fun, and I liked to draw stuff from like books that I was reading. And then I kind of stopped at a certain point, and I tried it again on this iPad, and when I was testing out the stylus, I decided to just by hand draw this painting that I have in my house, and it turned out to be pretty gosh darn good. And I thought to myself, man, if this stylus worked better, if it wasn't so laggy, I could really get into using like Procreate on the iPad to start drawing or painting. And then I saw this story on Cult of Mac, and the guy described the stylus and how well it works and how it has very little lag. And I thought, man, wait till they bring these things to all the other iPads. Do you guys think they'll bring the pencil to the rest of the iPad line? I think it's just a matter of time, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
And they're going to be opening up an entire world of digital artistry, because using tools like Procreate, there are a lot of phenomenal tools on the iPad for drawing, for painting. It's going to create the possibility for every kid, for every adult, to become a digital artist or just to be an artist in general. I truly think once they fine-tune the pencil and bring it to iPad, to all the iPads, this could be a revolution.
What?
Revolution.
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, I try to get my son interested in it. He's a very keen artist. I mean, he loves to draw.
Mm-hmm.
And he just sort of like looked at me like I was like a sad old man.
Jeez. That's not very nice.
And went back to his PlayStation. I mean,
he went back to his PlayStation 3 or 4? Never mind. You don't need to know the answer to that.
I'm sorry. It wasn't even a PlayStation. It's an Xbox. So I'm so old. So old now. I'm old.
So he still prefers the analog medium of pencil and paper.
Right. Well, he's into origami now. So that's the only thing that floats his boat. But yeah, I don't know. You know, like it would be nice. Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess.
I just think once they make this accessible to everyone, because if you were going to be a digital artist before, you had to buy like a Wacom tablet or a computer where you could draw on the screen, and those were pretty expensive. And I don't think the Wacom is actually all that great for artistry. So to be able to draw on the screen, I think that this guy who wrote this article, I think it just kind of reinforces that idea for me, because here's a guy who used to love to draw just like me, and now all of a sudden he's way back into it because it became accessible to him. And now he's able to draw and create digital art. I think that's really cool. And his spy-
oh no, it is great, and it's a really good example, right, of how this thing is really how it's really empowering. And this is a thing you can't do on a computer. This OS X, yeah. try to draw Spider-Man on OS X.
Dual mode, Leander. Dual mode.
It is fascinating because this is I think really what the iPad Pro is for. It's a digital creativity, screen,
right.
It's better for that than it is for the kind of, you know, for typing, mm-hmm. and for word based work. It's great. It excels at visual work, and but you know, how many people do you see sketching for their, you know, in work or at home, you know, in their personal lives? I mean, as a hobby, it's popular, but I think people prefer to watch television.
Well, but I think that's what Erfan's saying, is that people would do it more if the Apple Pencil was available on every iPad.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I think that's probably undoubtedly true.
So it's kind of just forward-looking. You know, in one or two years when they bring this to the rest of the iPad line and they fine-tune the pencil and make it a little bit more accurate and you know, completely eliminate the lag. And it is quite good already. I was, I think it was, I forget who it was. It was a podcast that I was recently reading a transcript from, and all they do is talk about pens. Can you believe there's a... First of all, can Can you believe there's a podcast that all they do is talk about pens? They just talk about pens, different kinds of pens. I didn't even know that people were that into pens. And the guy talks about how he doesn't like digital pens, but the pencil from Apple is the first digital pen that he's used that he thinks really has potential to replace, you know, a normal pen and paper. I don't think that's necessarily true yet, but I think in 1 or 2 years we're going to be there once they eliminate the lag 100%. Because the pencil still has some lag. From the videos that I've seen, it's still kind of laggy. It's not exactly like a real-time medium like using an actual pen. But anyway, let's do one quick topic before we move on to get to know your cultist. Oh, then I also have that Apple TV pro tip that I've been teasing you with that I'm going to share with you that you're absolutely going to thank me for. You're welcome. Did you guys see this piece that designer Louis Mantia did where he fits Disneyland inside the Apple spaceship campus? Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
So I thought this would be fun. Everyone knows Apple is building a massive new campus. And it's going to be huge. It's kind of hard to qualify how big it is in your own mind when you see pictures and stuff of like the 4K flyovers and stuff. It just looks like a big building. So here are some fun factoids about it. A, it's going to feature a 100,000 square foot fitness center. It's going to have 11,000 parking spaces, 2,000 bike parking spaces, and 2.8 million square feet of space. It's also going to have 100,000 square foot lab thrown in. Wow, the lab is as big as the fitness center. That's kind of cool. And designer Louis Mantia, I don't know why he thought to do this, was trying to give it some context so that people can understand how big it is.
He's like a super big Disney nerd. Like, goes all the time. Yeah.
Is he really? He goes to Disneyland a lot.
Yeah, yeah. He talks about Disneyland all the time if you follow him on Twitter. So yeah.
Wow. I mean, I like Disneyland too, but I didn't realize there were like hardcore adults out there.
And he saw some specs, right, Buster, about how big a certain building was, and he was like, "Oh, wait a second, that's about
Disney." Weird that that's what your mind goes to.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, how did you even think to do this? So what he did was he superimposed all of Disneyland inside of the Apple spaceship campus. And you can see it fits pretty well right inside there. So that gives it some context. The Apple Spaceship Campus is going to be bigger than Disneyland. And all of Disneyland fits inside of the campus. I mean, if you've ever been to Disneyland and walked through Disneyland, that gives you a really good idea of how enormous this place actually is. But some other fun tidbits. Apparently, the saucer section of the USS Enterprise 1701A is also the same size as the Apple spaceship campus. Yeah, which, I don't know. I mean, whenever you see the Enterprise in movies, it doesn't look like it's that big. Because they always have, like, you know, shuttlecraft flying in and out of, like, the butt end. Uh-huh. And that always gives you the context of how big it actually is. And the saucer section doesn't seem that huge. Also, if you lay the Empire State Building on its side, it would span the entire length of the campus. So this place is going to be absolutely massive. And we'll probably have Disney characters walking around.
When's it supposed to be finished? Isn't it coming? Isn't it supposed to be 2016?
Yeah, sometime 2016.
Right, but kind of early, right? And they've been making a lot of progress.
Yeah, plus, they're making progress really quickly. Every time I see a flyover, they've finished a whole lot more of it.
Right, and it's very modular because they had it all it's all been built off-site, yeah, and they're clinking it together, and it has all of the
I didn't know that
all of the pipes, all of the ducting, all of the all of the infrastructure has already been built in, and it just clips together.
How interesting. So it's all being built in the walls.
Right. And I wonder if they have to run. I mean, they can't possibly do that for all the networking, right? I mean, it couldn't be that modular.
I don't think so. I mean, they probably could put some stuff into the walls, maybe to give them access to run different network stuff. But eventually, just like all IT businesses, they're going to have stuff running all throughout, you know, the ceilings and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they're building it all to fit together so precisely. In any case, okay, before we move on, I want to say thank you to Harry's for supporting this episode Well, guys, it's that time of year again. Time to get presents for other people, or maybe you're not so much into regifting, but you're more into me gifting. Hey, I get that. If you're looking to step up your shaving game, if you're looking for a gift for a man in your life, maybe your dad or your brother or your uncle, you know, they can be hard to shop for, but I don't know any guys that don't appreciate a good shaving set. Well, this holiday season, Harry's has something for practically every guy out there, whether it's a Secret Santa gift for your office colleague or your dad who just never seems to want anything. Harry's has holiday shaving sets all at different price points, starting at just $15. But for our listeners, you get $5 off when you go to harrys.com and use the promo code CULTCAST. And maybe you're not looking to buy a gift for someone else. Maybe you're just looking to not spend a ton of money on razor blades anymore. You know, razor blades are expensive, especially at the drugstore. They're even expensive on Amazon. Harry's bought an entire German razor blade factory just so they could produce the razor blades themselves. And that way they could cut out the middlemen, ship the razors directly to you at a frequency that you choose, and give you a fantastic price. That's what Harry's does. If you do decide to give Harry's as a gift, know this. I just picked up some more Harry's product. I got a new handle, some razor blades, their foaming shave gel, and also their travel kit, which really is a good-looking bag. And of course, is a great way to keep all your shaving supplies and your toiletries together when you travel. All their items are packaged very nicely. It's clear Harry spends a lot of time designing their packaging, and every time I get a Harry's product, I'm always impressed at how well their products look and how well they're packaged together. It's a small thing, but I think it's an important thing. So if you're looking for a gift for that certain male in your life, or maybe you're looking to do some me gifting, do check out harrys.com. I always like to recommend the Truman set. It's normally $15, but if you use code CULTCAST at checkout, you'll get $5 off. And that means you'll get a Truman set, which has 3 razor blades, a handle, and their foaming shave gel shipped right to your door for free for just $10. It's a great way to get started. Also, check out the reviews on Harry's site. If you're not really sure what you want to buy, there's a lot of great reviews on Harry's site that you can use to help decide what you want to get. That's harrys.com. The code is CULTCAST. The set is the Truman set. I want to thank Harry's for supporting this episode. Alrighty, so before we move on to an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, here is that very special Apple TV Pro tip that you absolutely need to know. Here it is. So have you guys, when you're using the Apple TV, accidentally touched the pad and have it scroll forward in your timeline? Has this happened to you guys?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
So
this has happened to me several times. And if you have the new Apple TV, the remote has a touchpad on it. And so because the remote is, it's difficult to know which side of the remote to be touching. Would you guys agree with that? It's like you don't know which side the touchpad is on when you're first looking at it.
I picked it up upside down loads of times.
And when you do that, your thumb touches the touchpad. And if you're watching something, the video will interpret that as a movement in the actual timeline. So it may move you away from the current spot where you are. And that's really frustrating because then you have to, you know, turn the remote right side up and then scroll back to the place in the timeline where you were and then hit play again. Super annoying. Well, here's the way you fix that. If you accidentally scrub to the wrong place in the timeline, all you have to do, are you ready for this? All you have to do is press the menu button and the timeline will automatically go right back to where you were and you won't lose a single moment. You won't lose a single second of video. Then you can just hit play. Boom, you're right back into your video, right where you want it to be.
Okay, great.
You're welcome.
That's very, very handy tip for a problem I never had.
I cannot believe it. You must not watch video on your Apple TV very often, Lander.
Well, yeah, but you know, how much time do you spend watching TV?
Hours a day. I don't know what you do. I mean, like 10 hours plus.
No, I don't. I didn't watch TV last night. No, the night before.
Oh my gosh, your Apple TV should be confiscated.
It was on. I was watching the screensaver.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Jason, I was watching the screensaver last night.
Are those screensavers not the most amazing things about the Apple TV? Yeah. They're incredible.
Yeah, it's mesmeric. They really are.
They are, and they're constantly coming out with new ones. I've set mine to download new ones every day. They're unbelievable. I think arguably one of the best features about the new Apple TV. They're so amazing. And they are. You sit there and you're like trying to figure out what to watch, and then you take too long, so the screensaver loads up, and then you just sit there watching screensavers for the next hour.
That's exactly what I did. I went through Netflix. I was trying to find something to watch on Netflix. Started watching something, hated it, turned it off, and then watched the screensaver.
Yeah, I mean they truly are mesmerizing. Or you'll pause Netflix and then it goes back into the screensaver mode, and then you realize like 45 minutes later that you were watching something that you forgot to unpause.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, let's move on to an all new Get to Know Your Cultist. Gobble Gobble Edition, y'all! This version, we're going to be talking about some Thanksgiving questions. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to all of our U.S. listeners. Hope you guys are enjoying yourselves, and hopefully you're listening to this episode after you eat, not before. We don't want you to get a tummy ache. Okay, so here's the first one, guys. You only get one Thanksgiving side this year. What do you eat? Buster was telling me before we started recording that he was actually just thinking about this question yesterday.
Yeah.
You only get one side, Leander. Is it going to be bangers and mash? Bubble and squeak?
Toad in the hole? Spotted dick?
I hear that your mother makes a very delightful bubble and squeak.
Actually, I wouldn't mind having some bubble and squeak.
You know where I heard that term, Leander? On a Disney cartoon from like 1961. It's called Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, it's Mary Poppins, isn't it?
No, it's kind of like Mary Poppins, but it's different. Anyway, sorry, I digress. What's the one side item Leander Caney chooses after he's downed 2 to 3 liters of ale?
Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts?
Out of all the things you could choose, that's what you go with?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
In fact, I was thinking of just having Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts are your favorite Thanksgiving. There's something that's not okay with that.
Lisa. Yeah.
I know. It's weird. A lot of people don't like Brussels sprouts, but my son is a Brussels sprouts fanatic too. And in fact, I have to forcibly restrain him from taking all the Brussels sprouts. Yeah, he would eat the whole lot. He would eat the whole entire bowl of Brussels sprouts and he does, you know, like if we're passing and he's before, if he gets it first, it's all gone.
He just pigs out on him and he leaves nothing for you and you got to go back to like the mashed potatoes and gravy.
Right, I know. He's, he loves broccoli.
Wow. And lettuce.
He loves all his vegetables. Strangest kid, right?
Yes, you gotta tell him to eat. You gotta tell him to not eat all the vegetables.
I know. Yeah, please. You gotta say some of it, sir. Come on, stop eating them all.
That's right. Okay, Brussels sprouts. I like the fact that you say them like this, Brussels sprouts. You put the emphasis on the sprouts. I like that.
On the sprouts. On Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts. Okay, Buster, what do you got? I think we're gonna choose the same one.
Mashed potatoes for me.
Oh, and the gravy.
Just give me a whole tub of it and I'm fine. Yeah, I'd be cool.
Oh, the gravy. Have you ever just taken your shirt off and just rubbed them all over your body?
No, but it sounds like it would be a good moisturizer.
And not only is it moisturizing, but you smell good for days. I can't tell you how many Thanksgiving Day meals I've been kicked out of for doing that. Oh my gosh. So you're gonna pick mashed potatoes and gravy. I think that. I don't want to pick the same thing just so we can mix it up, but I think I have to, especially when there's just like just doused in gravy. And have you ever put those fried onions on top of it? They are just like deep fried onion bits that you could put on all your food. Oh,
what are the traditional size for Thanksgiving meal? I mean, it's like pumpkin stuff and
it's like green bean casserole,
which is what?
It's like gravy and green beans and onions and all sorts of other little.
Do people put marshmallows on it?
On that? No.
They put that on sweet potatoes.
Yeah, sweet potatoes and marshmallows, Leander. Oh, that's another good one.
We went to Arizona to some friends and they had a meal there. And honestly, I've never had so many calories in a meal. It was like everything was super sweet. It was like ham with apricot jam on it.
Wow.
And then they ladled it onto the ham and they had beans with marshmallows melted on the top.
Interesting.
It was disgusting.
I feel like there's a lot of mixture happening there that shouldn't be mixed together. Like
everything was sweet. You know, the baked beans had tons of brown sugar in it.
Okay, that's actually not too bad. Yeah. But there's a lot of sweet being mixed with salty.
It was a sweet overload. I could not believe it. We were really surprised. And of course, we're stuck, right? You're a captive audience. You're sitting there and it's like, come on, eat up. And you're like, I think I need to go to the bathroom.
Again. Yeah. Also, honey roasted ham. If you ever had like a really good ham, oh my gosh. This is not like the ham you get from the sandwich, you know, packs at the grocery store. Like a good honey roasted ham, like melts in your mouth. And it has like that honey film on the outside of it. Oh my gosh. That's also really good. Okay. Dessert. What's for dessert, guys? You get to pick any dessert you want, but you only get one. What's it going to be?
What, does that have to be a traditional Thanksgiving dessert?
No, it could be anything. But actually, I take that back. Yeah, it has to be something they serve at Thanksgiving dinner. You're not going to choose a McDonald's ice cream cone here.
I was going to say mince pie, but...
Mince pie. Does that have meat in it?
No. It's a kind of a spicy fruit mix. It's a bunch of fruit in a sort of spicy brown sauce. Most Americans find it disgusting.
Well, it's British, isn't
like
it?
Like Marmite, yeah.
My mom makes like mincemeat pies like every Thanksgiving and Christmas. I hate them. They're just disgusting.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they love them.
And she's home making this stuff, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Buster.
I just go with traditional
pumpkin pie.
Why not? I mean, it's the one time a year when you eat it, you got to.
Yeah, you do have
to. Or apple pie. You could go with apple pie if you want, if that's your flavor. But I'd go with pumpkin before apple.
I'm gonna mix it up here. I like pumpkin pie. I'll eat it. I certainly won't swat it off my plate. But apple pie, high on the list. But you know what else? If you're lucky, you might get one of these. Like those fruit tarts that they sell at like the grocery store that have like the crust on the outside and it has like the custard filling. And then they pile on like kiwi and blackberries and all sorts of fruit on top of it. And then they glaze the fruit with some type of like sugary mixture. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
My gosh, those things are so good. You bite into it, the custard just squirts everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining Buster eating one of those right now, and it's just majestic. He just takes a big old bite and just...
He's got a slice of kiwi stuck in his beard.
The custard just squirts into his beard. It's just glorious.
Last year at a party, someone brought an apple pie from a local bakery that had, of all things, a layer of cream cheese in the bottom.
Oh, how was that?
It was unbelievable. It was it's the best apple pie ever. And in fact, thinking about it, I'm going to have to go get one today.
Oh, they sell them? Do they just sell them this time of year, or is it year round?
It's a bakery that's over on Geary Street, which is on the other side of town here in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say it was a Russian bakery, but it can't be. There's a bakery. I think it's an Irish bakery. Okay. But anyway, there's a bakery over there somewhere. In fact, I've got to find out where
like
it is.
That's a good idea. It's like a cheesecake / apple pie.
Yeah, really unbelievably delicious.
Okay. All right, well, let's wrap up with this question. You've gotten a very special invitation, a very exclusive invitation to Tim Cook's personal Thanksgiving dinner. He's going to be wearing his Kiss the Cook apron. He's going to be cooking just for you. What does he serve you when you go to his house, Leander? What are some of his side dishes or his main dish even?
Well, he's from the South, isn't he? So
yeah,
it's going to be like that disgusting sugary meal I ate when I was in Arizona.
So everything's sugar gonna be covered in apricot jam,
right? And super super sickly sweet.
You think so?
And then you'll be eating it, and he'll be sitting there unwrapping a power bar, right?
Exactly. I was thinking, he's so fit. I remember reading something with him where he said that he gets up at like 3:30 in the morning to go work out. He's not eating any of that Thanksgiving food. Like here's what you're going to have. You're going to have a steamed turnip, definitely some steamed Brussels sprouts, maybe some of those steamed carrots that are really small, you know, like those really tiny carrots. And then for the main dish, you'll have a like one of those pheasants. It's going to be really small, though. Like those really tiny little birds they sell at the grocery store that weigh like less than half a pound. It's going to be one of those.
He does a tofu turkey, man.
It might be a tofurkey. Yeah, right. It might be a tofurkey. And then while you're sitting there enjoying your finger foods, he's just going to be right behind you. He's going to have his hands on your shoulders, just massaging them. And then just right in your ear, you're going to hear this, gobble, gobble, y'all. And he's just going to be rubbing your shoulders, because that's the kind of gentleman he is. He wants you to enjoy yourself.
I'm a little comfortable with where this is going.
Just silence.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Leander? Invitation rescinded. You don't get to go. Buster and I are just going to go, and we're going to enjoy our steamed carrots and other steamed foods while Tim Cook eats his power bar. Alrighty, well, should we go ahead and wrap it up there?
Maybe, yeah.
I think this show has gone sufficiently off the rails. Let's go ahead and wrap it up there. I want to thank Canary for supporting this episode. Head on over to meetcanary.com, see Canary in action. Pick one up for just $1.99. Get free shipping with code CULTCAST at checkout. Thanks to FreshBooks for supporting this episode. Head on over to freshbooks.com/CULTCAST. Get started with your 30-day free trial. Run your business right. freshbooks.com/CULTCAST. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. Hope that you guys enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't get too sick. Don't get too drunk. And I don't even know where I'm going with that. That's all the CULTCAST we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us your Thanksgiving stories, we're on Twitter, BustersBST3R, Leander's L. Caney. I'm at ERFON. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to use the world of Apple, make sure you're following at Cultimac. This has been the CULTCAST, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CULTCAST come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll gobble you guys next time. Leander, give me another gobble gobble, y'all, would you?
Gobble gobble, y'all.
I like how he does it in his falsetto.
Yeah.
2 I just love that. Gobble gobble, y'all. I bet sometimes he sneaks up on people and just whispers it right into their ear. Like on Thanksgiving Day, you just feel like these two big hands just grab your shoulders from behind, and he just gets real close to your ear and he just whispers, gobble gobble, y'all. It's well known around Apple campus that he does that.
Right.